Luke chapter 24, starting at verse 13, I'll read to 35. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were walking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" As they stood still, looking sad, then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucify him. But we had hoped, that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent.' So he went in and stayed with them. When he was at table with them, he took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?' And they rose the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread." Now today, as we continue to look at what I'm calling practical meditations on the scripture, I'm going to bring something today that is, I believe, extremely practical and yet often falls under, it often falls as something that people will say is not practical. And what I would like to do today is to talk about why you ought to read theology as part of your practical Christianity. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, Monday morning you should run out and buy the 3 volumes of Francis Turretin's Institutes of Eclectic Theology and get to work. You might want to do that, and that's fine. I'll be your biggest cheerleader if you want to do that. But I am saying that as part of your practical Christian diet, you ought to be reading some theology and doing work in theology, the study of God and knowing about God from the scriptures, as it helps inform and direct even your practical Christian life. Now, theology is something that is often criticized in the church. Sometimes the criticisms are because theology, according to some, is unnecessary. You know, those are the words of men. Why do we care what men have to say when, you know, we need to go to the Bible? There's others that will say that theology is divisive. Some of you might say divisive, but I'm willing to fight you on that. I like divisive as the proper terminology or the proper way to pronounce that. There's some that would say that theology is divisive and it causes division in the church. So therefore, they don't want to study theology. And there's others that will say that theology makes people only care about things of the head and not things of the heart or things of the hand, as in putting to practice your Christianity. But I would argue that that is not true, that studying theology and having a robust study of theology that is rooted and founded in the Word of God is something that will help your practical Christianity, not hinder it when it's done well. Now, theology is very practical. I mentioned last week that I've been doing a lot of work in William Perkins, a theologian from the 16th century in England. And William Perkins defined theology as the science of living blessedly forever. And I think that that's beautiful. You know, the science of living blessedly forever. One of his mentors said that theology was the art of living well, the art of living well. And that sort of stream is found in much of Reformed theology. Some will say, even popular theologians today will say that theology is application. It is the application of what the scriptures teach. Here's a quote from J.I. Packer. He has a little book that would be among my list of recommendations called Concise Theology, small paperback, less than 200 pages. And he says in that Concise Theology, in the first chapter, he says, theology is the first activity of thinking and speaking about God. And second, the product of that activity. As an activity, theology is a cat's cradle of interrelated, though distinct, disciplines, synthesizing what they say on things that deal with biblical theology and seeing how the faith was stated in the past, historical theology, formulating it for today, that's systematic theology, finding its implications for conduct, that's ethics, commending and defending it as truth and wisdom, that's apologetics, and defining the Christian task in the world, that's missiology, and stockpiling resources for life in Christ, that's spirituality, and corporate worship, that's liturgical theology, and exploring ministry, that is practical theology. So theology, when we come into the scriptures, what we draw from that as Christians that are ultimately concerned with living for the glory of God and living to the glory of God is that we would draw application. We would draw things out that we can apply so that we can think better and our heart would be better tuned and our hands would be better to serve and our thoughts and heart would be better even into worship. So why study theology? A question that is often asked, and I want you to think about theology as practical. And I'm going to give you six reasons today that you should make the study of theology something that that you should endeavor to do. And again, if you don't have any idea of what that looks like, or you need book recommendations or accountability in that, I'd be happy to give you those things at a later time. You can text me or call or whatever. So the first thing, why study theology? Number one, to understand the scriptures better. The scriptures are our foundation. They are the only foundation of true theology. 2 Timothy 3:16, a verse that you know probably well. All scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, for reproof, correction, and training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and equipped to every good work. So if you want completeness and you want to be fully equipped for the Christian life, that begins and it's founded on the Word of God. The scriptures help us in that being equipped. So we study theology because it helps us to dive into the meaning of what the scriptures teach. Theology, to help us to understand the scriptures better, is also something that is spirit-driven. 2 Peter 1:21 says, "For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." So we understand that this is spiritual work. We want to understand God. We want to better worship God and live as Christians in this world. We want to be seen as practical believers. So we study theology. It causes us to dive into the scriptures, and we understand that those scriptures come out from the Word of God. This is something that is also Christ-centered. We're looking for Jesus as we study the scriptures, and theology helps us to do that. I read from Luke 24, the one verse, verse 27, said, "In beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he, being Jesus, explained to them what was said in all of the scriptures concerning himself." That was not just Bible study where he's pointing and proof texting and saying, look up this verse, look up this verse, and look up this verse. But he's doing the theology of saying, here is where the Christ is in this section. Here is where the Christ is in this section. And he's really showing the way that the scriptures speak of Christ. So we want to understand the scriptures better. Theology helps us to do that. Number two, not only do we want to understand the scriptures better, but we also want to better discern what the scriptures mean. We don't want to just be simplistic in our understanding of the scriptures. You know, sometimes we'll have people say, well, you know, show me the proof text. And we understand that the scriptures, there's a complex system for some of the ways that the scriptures speak. If you look at the ways that the apostles use the Old Testament, sometimes we scratch our head and we say, you know, I think they might use scripture a little bit differently than we do. It's because there's the theology of scripture that we must be able to better discern what the scriptures mean. There's that system where all the scriptures are held together with that understanding. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says, "Do not despise prophecies or preaching, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good." So we look at that which is taught from the scriptures and we test it. And we say, okay, what does this mean? And what does this mean? And what does this mean? And we're not despising that what is taught, but we're comparing it against the scriptures so that we can be discerning in how we use the scriptures. Because some people will use the scriptures and someone else will use the scripture, the same scripture, and come maybe to totally different conclusions. It's because they're doing theology differently. They're applying it differently. And the Word of God wants us to discern. We are reminded to be like the Bereans, aren't we? The Bereans examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul was saying is true. That's Acts 17:11. And you can connect Acts 17:11 to Deuteronomy 18, verses 20 through 22, where God says through Moses that if there's a prophet that comes and speaks in the name of the Lord and what his word is teaching is not true, that prophet is one who speaks presumptuously and we're not to look to him. We're not to fear him. So that requires us to be discerning as we read the scriptures. We must discern what the scriptures mean, and understanding theology of the scriptures, this totally rooted in the scriptures, that's going to help you with that discernment. So understand the scriptures, discern the scriptures. Number three, or I mean, number three, I actually have it listed as two twice, so I'm probably going to end on seven, not on six. Number three is preparation to serve the church. Theology and understanding theology helps us to serve the church. And I think that a great text to go through to meditate on this is one that is near and dear to my heart, because when I first became a Christian, I've told this story. Some of you have probably heard it. My wife has heard it as well. But the woman that led me to Christ, I remember her. I was in her apartment, new believer, not very, you know, just a few months old as a believer. And she asked me, Nathan and my friend Sean, who some of you know, he was there as well. She said, where do I go? Where do you go in the scriptures to see the story of Jesus talking to Nicodemus? And it was totally blank. Neither one of us knew where to go in the scriptures. And she said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. We said, oh, that's John 3:16. We knew where that was. And she said, it is in the context of the story of Nicodemus. And she said, if you want to serve the church, you need to listen to this. And this is John 3:10. Nicodemus says to Jesus, how can these things be? So Jesus says, you must be born again. He explains what that looks like. Here's what the Spirit does in this. And Jesus answers Nicodemus, and listen, this is profound. He says to Nicodemus, are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? What Jesus is saying is, Nicodemus, you serve the church, and you don't understand what the scriptures teach concerning even elementary things of the scriptures, like how one is saved or how one comes to know God, how one is born again. Theology helps us to serve the church, to be better prepared for that. Number four, we study theology because it helps us to understand the doctrines of the church. The church has doctrines. There are technical language, just like in any discipline. You know, I look at the screen and I see some of what you do. You know, WM works in law, and Mike works in accounting, and Merta works in accounting, and, you know, David is in IT. And, you know, we understand that all of these people have a technical language that they'll use, and they'll use words and verbiage that is totally outside of my realm of experience and understanding. And I don't know it because I'm not part of that. Well, the church also has a technical language. And when we study theology, it helps us to be better equipped with that doctrine of the church and understand some of that technical language, so that when it's used and when it is taught about, you're able to say, okay, I understand that. I understand what that thing is. It's okay that the church has a technical language. We don't need to throw away words like justification and sanctification and propitiation and Trinity. We don't need to throw those words away. We just have to say, okay, there's a technical language. I'm a Christian, and I'm going to work on understanding some of that technical language so that I can be part of this community. And here's the text I would go to. 2 Timothy 1:13. Paul says to Timothy, follow the pattern of sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus by the Spirit who dwells in us. Guard the good deposit entrusted to you. The idea of sound words are words that are used to help explain what the scriptures mean. These are the sound words, and that is theology. That is doing theology. So it's going to help us to understand the teaching or the technical language of the church. Number five, we study theology so that we can defend the faith. There are those that are apologetics in that which they do or that which they primarily focus on, but for those that aren't you know, professionally trained in apologetics, reading some theology helps you to work through some of those things so that when you are standing socially distant at the water cooler and somebody asks you a question about your faith or they give some pushback on the Christian faith, you're able to give some defense of that. I mean, even this last week, I took Anna to her follow-up dental appointment to have her wisdom teeth checked to see if they were healing well. And during the check-in, the nurse said, "Well, what do you do for work?" And I said, "Oh, I'm a pastor." And immediately, you know, I brought a book so that I could sit and read while she was in the appointment. But immediately, the questions just start coming. You know, here's somebody that I can ask these to. Those opportunities will come to you, not, you know, as a pastor, they obviously come easier because you say you're a pastor and people ask those follow-up questions. But when people find out that you're a Christian, they may ask some of those apologetic type questions that they're wrestling through or that they've heard. You know, how do you know that God is good? Or how do you know that God exists? Or how can you trust the Bible? And by reading and studying some theology, it helps to equip you in that, and you're better equipped for evangelism and for defending the faith. 1 Peter 3:15 through 16, in your hearts honor Christ as the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense for anyone who asks a reason for the hope that is in you. So you say, you know, I have hope as a believer. You know, I look at the calendar for the year 2020 and everybody says 2020 has been a dumpster fire. Well, I still have hope. Well, why do you have hope? Well, let me give you a defense of that hope. That's something that you can do. And studying theology is going to help you to live that out practically in a better way. Number six, and then remember I said there's seven, I changed it. Number six, studying theology ought to help you to grow spiritually. Anyone that is in love seeks to know the other person more deeply or more intimately. You know, those of you that are married, you don't say 6 months into your marriage, you know, I think this is probably enough. All your stories, everything, your likes, your dislike, everything that I know about you, let's just call it good there and we'll put it on pause. I don't want to grow more in my knowledge of you or how you work or function or your likes or dislikes. You know, that's foolish, right? That's going to end up in a counseling session. But people often do that in their spiritual life. They become a Christian. They learn a little bit of the scriptures. They learn some basic truths of the scriptures. And they pause and they don't grow for years and years and years. And that is something that we ought not to do as believers. And studying theology, pushing ourselves to learn some of this stuff, it's going to help us to grow spiritually. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, "The natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. They're folly to him. He's not able to understand them because they're spiritually discerned." So that's somebody who just says, you know, I have no interest in this. Well, it takes spiritual discernment to understand what the scriptures truly teach. That's a converted heart, and then we must continue to grow in that, continue to dive into that and to have depth in that. Philippians 1, verses 9 through 10, "This is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and discernment." See, that takes the work, doesn't it? Not just that your love would grow more and more, but your love would grow with knowledge and discernment. That's studying the scriptures with a theological mind. Hebrews 5, 11 through 13 says, "About this we have much to say. It's hard to explain since you've become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk and not solid food, for everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness since he's a child. But solid food is for the mature and those that have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice of distinguishing good from evil." So again, the scriptures themselves understand that we're called to dive in. We're called to eat from the meat of the scriptures. And that is understanding the theology of the scriptures, using those teachers that are tried and trusted and true, and letting them help you to dive deeply and to richly explore the depths of the scriptures. So number six, and then number seven, to better live out the Christian life. Again, I am arguing that theology and studying theology ought to be practical. It's something that ought to lead you to living your life as a believer in a more God-glorifying way. The study of the scriptures for the Christian ought never to just drive you alone in your bedroom with a pile of books, never to have contact with people again. That's not the point of scripture, of theology. It is so that you will engage the world, so that you will be a better servant of Christ in the world, so that you're better equipped to give glory to God in the world, so that you're able to speak of Christ in this world. We want to live out the Christian life better. Psalm 111:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever." And like it, Proverbs 9:10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight." The knowledge of the Holy One is knowing His Word, and that wisdom that both Psalm 111 and Proverbs 9 speak about is applying the Scriptures, applying that in a theological manner to our lives. Now, that's seven reasons. I started with saying it was six, but I miscounted. You know me enough to know that's not something that won't ever happen again. But I want to end with a warning. And the warning, as we study theology, is found in 1 Corinthians 8, 1 through 3. "Now, concerning food offered to idols, we know that all of us possess knowledge. This knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. If anyone imagines he knows something, he doesn't yet know what he ought to know. But anyone that loves God, he is known by God." So as we study theology and as we go deeper in theology, the big red flag and the big warning is to not be puffed up in that knowledge and not use that knowledge to build ourselves up and to think that we are something, but we use it that we would love God more deeply and love your neighbor more deeply. Again, the study of theology ought to be something that is practical in your Christian life.